Welcome back to the Life on Target podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Spearing, coming to you today to talk about being more dangerous, fighting insecurity, doing the work while also relying on God, having faith in Him. I'm a little bit out of practice, y'all. I've been out of this seat for a couple weeks, actually. Those of you that follow on Instagram know that we closed 34 more acres next door to our 20-acre plot where we're living in the bus. Had a brush trimmer out there trying to beat back the years of undergrowth that have been untended. I've been literally tending my garden, y'all, trying to get the land ready for livestock, for more larger breed animals, because quite frankly, I want some more meat being grown on the property. It's the point of having this land, expanding this border, put it to use to make our family more resilient, to bring more food, hopefully, to the community here, to our neighbors, to our church, to provide literal sustenance for our neighbors. We're excited about it. We're having a good time. Check us out on Instagram at The Spearing. Also, my wife's Instagram account at Home Formation. Follow along, kind of some of the day-to-day things that we're up to. Interact with us on there. Be awesome. Anyway, let's get to the subject matter here. This is kind of something that I have been outlining and meditating on and thinking about for quite a while. I'm not really sure how to perfectly outline all the different tensions that are at play with these issues that we face as men, but I'm going to do my best here today to just kind of speak about what I've been thinking about here, and maybe we can interact on different platforms. You can send me a message, whatever, give me your thoughts, but there's a lot of people whining about the young men that they see coming up in the faith, or just young men in general. Let's just go ahead and extend it to society, because there's, quite frankly, it's not really something that particularly plagues the Christian community. It's the Christian community is similar to what we're seeing just societally. Shamefully, to our shame, we don't have a different, we're not raising a large percentage when you take a cross cut or a section, a sampling of our young men. I don't think that you would say, oh man, yeah, look at these guys. These are the men that are going to lead our society. They're going to lead in their communities. They're going to marry our daughters. I do know a bunch of young men. I hang out. We have a trail life troop here that is 6 to 8 different churches, maybe 20 different churches. We get together every other Monday night, dads and sons, and we are training our boys in rugged things and skills that will build resilience. You guys know that I took my 12-year-old son in the summer of 2021 on a 50-mile road march, or not road march, that's military vernacular, creeping in a 50-mile march over terrain and trying to give our boys these physical challenges that essentially take them to a point where they can't rely on their physical abilities anymore because they've just got to the end of themselves and they have to harness a mental toughness or a physical toughness in spite of their lack of strength, in spite of the pain, and continue to push forward. I don't know if I've talked about this, but I looked at my son and talked to him about it as we were training up, as we were doing Saturday morning marches where we were doing, we start out 5 miles, 10 miles, 12 miles. And I just said, son, this is an individual task that you're going to be doing. This is something that you're going with a bunch of different boys. Most all the boys were older than him, maybe one or two boys about his age, but there's probably 5 or 6 that are 14, 15, 16 year old boys that have been, doing this kind of stuff a little longer than he had, a little bit more mature, larger framed to be able to do this. Say, look, I don't want you, son, to compare yourself with these other boys. This is individual. I want you to come to the end of yourself, what you feel like is the end of yourself physically. And then I want you to see and experience and know that when your body is crying out to you, stop, don't take it, you can't do it. Oh, I can't, I really can't walk, I can't do it, whatever. That you got a lot more in the tank. And the only way to really build that capacity to continue when it's hard is to do hard things, is to put yourself in the position where you feel like you can't do it and then continue to do it, not quit. And I can't remember what book it is. I'm going to have to figure it out. I think it may have been The Comfort Crisis. I'm just talking about guys establishing a ritual to come up with a challenge every year that was from the beginning, kind of their estimation of 50% chance that they could complete it, potentially complete it. Not so hard that they knew they couldn't, not so easy that they, you know, 75%, 80% chance knew that they can complete it, but putting themselves in a position regularly where they weren't sure if they could get these things done and continually putting challenges down for them. And, you know, I haven't been good on the regularity of that. It's easy to let the hustle and bustle of life kind of pass you by or put you in a position where you don't do these things. But why I'm kind of bringing this up to you is you need to start trying to identify times for yourself and for your boys to do things that are hard and to do things that may equal failure, because you got to bring that mental aspect into it too. That unknown about the result, the end result, and then be forced to deal with what the result is or to come to the end of yourself physically. And you have to do the reps in this regard. You don't just get hard men. You don't just get dangerous men by homeschooling them. We talked about this in the Rob Sense episode. We talked about it in the previous episode with Bill Rapier. It's work to turn your boys into men. And you know what you have to do first before you can turn your boys into men? You got to be a man. You got to be doing hard things in your life. You got to be putting yourself in positions where you're not sure you're going to be successful. And I'm drafting a risk-taking episode right now. I don't want to delve into that, but essentially you need to be doing things that you feel you're called to do in faith that God is going to bring about the result from your actions. Not that you're doing it, but that God's doing it through you, literally doing it through you in spite of yourself, in spite of what you're able to do. So if you're not putting yourself in these positions regularly, if you're not, and that's essentially what a good working out routine, that's why I kind of just move, get up and do some working out. Put yourself in a position where it's painful, just a little bit every day. Just build that capacity to do a hard thing and then build up and do something big and then take your boys along with you and breed a culture in your household of men that are hard and that are dangerous. And one of the reasons why I'm talking about this, my family, I've been reading through the book of Joshua with my family for family worship. You know, we've talked about this before. It needs to be something that's done regularly in your household. And, you know, my opinion, every single day. And it's not something I've always done very well at. It's something that I miss every now and then. But for the most part, the word is read in our house. We sing and we pray every day. And I just opened up the book of Joshua because we were talking about it. The girls and I actually were talking about it in our Tuesday morning Bible study that we do together on contentment. You guys have been following some of that stuff via the episode. I talked about that before, but talking about how Joshua, God told Joshua to not fear and how he was given a promise. And I think that, you know, it's cute for Christians to kind of say Joshua 1:9 and to think it applies to you, that no one's going to stand before you. Like, that's not the promise that God gave me or gave you necessarily. It's a promise he gave Joshua, but to see how the Lord spoke to him. But what I actually want to talk about is chapter 2, where the spies that were in Jericho and what Rahab said to them. So looking at verse 8 of chapter 2 in Joshua, "Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to them, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard of it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any of the man, any man, because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you will also deal kindly with my father's house.'" The entire city of Jericho, now this is a mighty fortified city. There, all the men trembled because of the Israelites. Not because, I don't think necessarily that the Israelites were particularly large in stature compared to their men, but because they knew the power of the Lord and that they were the Lord's people. Do you live your life like you believe the same God of Joshua and the Israelites in the Old Testament is your God? Do you go about your daily activities, and do you subdue the earth in the particular way that the Lord has called you to with the faith of these men? I definitely struggle with this from time to time, but the Lord protects us. If you are being obedient and you are walking out his call on your life faithfully, then you do not have to fear. I've talked about this before. On the battlefield, at home, in my bed, as I travel, as I commute to work, I'm invincible until the Lord's through with me. If I am seeking after him, I'm being obedient, I am studying his word, I am daily attempting with every thought and with every action to bring glory to the Father, I cannot be touched unless the Lord wills it. And I've seen his protection on the battlefield. I know that's not something everybody gets to experience, but guess what? When you take a risk, when you believe that you're called to do something, but it seems crazy, more recently for us, seems crazy to buy more land. When I got 20 acres that I haven't quite tamed yet. I have a lot of money in the bank that I could just sit back and I could coast, but I spent it on more land. So we're back to the position where we have a lot of land and essentially assets, and it's, you know, protecting me against inflation. But honestly, y'all, I didn't necessarily want to buy more when I'm looking at that bank account balance, because in my heart of hearts, if I'm going to be honest, I kind of wanted to slack off a little bit. I wanted to maybe take a couple months and, you know, a year and just build my house cash and not have to worry about going out and getting more clients and not have to worry about maybe getting up every single day early and getting into the office and getting caught up on administrative stuff. But thankfully, the Lord has given me a godly woman, and we talk about our vision for our family routinely, and she can be there to speak truth into my heart when maybe I'm not necessarily having the drive or the the mindset that I should. And one of the things my wife said as I was kind of saying, man, is this smart for us to buy more land and it's to leverage ourselves more for this? And, you know, we haven't even put the 20 acres we have fully to use. And she said, yeah, but that's not generational. We are trying to build something generational here, and we're trying to do something that will go beyond us, that will bless more than just us and our balance sheet and our cash flow and our little thing, but it's trying to be, and we need more land to do this. We've talked about it. And so we went for it. And that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to be able to keep it forever and always, and that it's going to be, I don't know. There's an unknown at this point of what it's going to look like and how are we going to continue to build this out and pay for it. We have the plan. We're executing it. But it is going to require the Lord to bring a yield in multiple areas of our lives and our heart posture being right. And that is scary to be in that position, especially as the world around us is obviously trending towards more complexity and more instability and more all, what does this mean? You know, it could be easy to batten down the hatches here and be small, but no, we're here to be victorious now at what the Lord has given us to do. And we're going to advance boldly despite what all the headlines are saying, despite what the neighbors are saying, despite what maybe some other people in church are saying too. We don't need to be worried. The same God that dried the Red Sea up for the Israelites, the same God that gave them victory against the Amorites, is our God now. And I know I've kind of been all over the place here, but essentially there's this tension, I believe, between faith and knowing that the Lord is going to work out everything for the good of his church and is going to be victorious, and doing the work yourself, actually using your hands and your feet to accomplish this victory now where you are, and to raise your men, your boys, into men that are going to do that as well. It all trickles down. You can't be playing it safe and being a wimp yourself every single day before your sons and expect them to go out and be a Joshua and to conquer. You have to model it. Where you are right now, you have to do it. You have to take risk. You have to be trying to discipline your body and to be strong and to be dangerous. You have to show them, and then you have to be praying that you're doing it right and trusting the Lord, because he's bringing about this, to have his covenant faithfulness to be to your children's children's children, to seek to leave them an inheritance. All of that is up to you right now. Every single choice that you make, we've talked about this, is taking you towards the glorious man you're supposed to be in Christ or towards hell. And every one of those decisions that you make as a man is also bearing fruit in your family. It's not just taking you towards the glorious man that you're supposed to be, but it's rippling down to your kids, and it's causing them to move closer to heaven or them to move closer to hell. That's how it works. You are responsible for yourself and your family now. If you're a young man, you're not married yet, and you haven't done this, you are practicing now, even now, every choice that you make, so that when you bring a woman into this life that you're building, when you are on mission and you're asking a woman to join you, you're ready. You have already disciplined yourself to do what is necessary every single day to spend your minutes wisely and get it done. So turn this podcast off and go out there and work out, do something hard right now, if possible, or put it on your calendar. Look at your week schedule and say, I'm getting up an hour earlier than I normally do on Thursday next week, or on Monday I'm doing it. I'm going to go to bed at 9 o'clock, and I'm going to set my alarm for 5. I'm going to bounce out of bed. I'm not going to hit snooze, and I'm going to throw something heavy around the yard, and I'm going to read the word to my kids every single day, and I'm going to be the best employee I can possibly be. I'm going to make my boss shocked at the amount of value I produce, and I'm going to get more dangerous every single day. You know, raising godly heritage, raising godly children is dangerous for the evil one. And he's trying to keep you fat and happy and on your Netflix, because the generational promises that are yours, he wants you to doubt that. He wants you to slack off in that. He is seeking to bring division between you and your wife, to cause you to not be a good dad, to cause you to go for the sweets and the carbs and all that kind of stuff when you should be reaching for a dumbbell. Don't let him, man. Seek the Lord, do hard things, model that for your children, become more dangerous. I don't even really think I got to the main point I was trying to do here about being dangerous. And I guess that's going to be another episode about how we're too concerned about what other people think and trying to be nice and not really ruffle any feathers. And it's going to be another episode. This is just a teaser for that one. I'm going to work on getting that done. Talk about how U.S. Ambassador was scared when she walked into the room and saw me, but then sent me to resolve a situation for her because she knew that I would take care of it because of a lifelong pursuit of excellence in the military and being in that critical moment, that spot where just a few words of instruction and launching me to make it happen. Anyway, if you got any value out of this, share it with someone. Or don't share it with anybody. Just you go now and do something dangerous. Do something that you aren't sure you're going to succeed at, and talk with your kids about it as you do it. Set a target before you and hit that mark. Have a good one.